Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here this morning. Appreciated the things we heard so far. I'm going to ask you to stand with me I want to read something and then have a word of prayer. Another hymn I want to read. The words say, "Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." Let's pray. Almighty God, we pause before you this morning. We need you. We want you. We need your presence in our midst this morning. We want your spirit in our presence, in our service today. And we want you, O God, to be real in our hearts. That as vessels in your hand, that we can be available and that we can be rising up and stepping to the plate and taking the responsibility that you called us to and serving you with hearts filled with love and power and grace and peace, that your name will be glorified, that your kingdom will be prospered, that your name will be great, that we can walk with you, that we can serve you, we can obey you, we can glorify you all the days of our life. Bless each one here today. I pray, Father, that these few loaves and fishes, these few crumbs, that you will bless it to every heart, that we can all be edified and ministered to today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I appreciated the lesson that Brother David had this morning about Gideon. You know, I guess on my heart this morning is the fact that, we rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we boast and we thank God for the completeness of our salvation. We know that the scripture says, "Ye are complete in him who's ahead of all principality and power." We know that the work was finished on Calvary as far as our salvation is concerned. We know that, and we love that. The finished and complete work of Jesus Christ, and there's nothing that we can do to make it more perfect or to add to it or to take from it. The work of God is complete. But my concern is that we are not, that does not mean that we can kick back in our lazy boy and ride into heaven. There's still some responsibility that is ours. As a children of God, there is still, and I believe there is that tendency almost to make it so complete that there's nothing for us to do. Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." So there is a part. And that's what we want to look at today. in our relationship with God, how that we relate to His provision to us, and how that we are diligent and committed to being a part of God's work. And in doing this, this thought of rising up and taking our responsibility and standing to the plate and following the pattern that God has for us. You know, Gideon, when we think of the story of Gideon, we know God fought the battle for Gideon. God did it. But there was also things that Gideon had to do. He had to follow the instructions of God. God gave him some very detailed instructions that do this and do this and do this. And he did those things that God told him to do, and the power of God moved in a beautiful way, and the victory was won through God's hand in the battle. But if Gideon would not have obeyed God, if he would not have done those few little things that God ordered him to do, I don't believe he would have had that blessing. But I believe there is a part for us, and I don't know how we can always sort that out and know where our place is in all these things, but I believe that it is important that we are diligent and that we are committed and that we are in touch with God. If we want to experience His hand on our life, if we want to experience Him working in our midst. I have some thoughts here from John Eldridge that I appreciated. He says, in an attempt to secure the sovereignty of God, theologians have overstated their case and left us with a chess-playing God playing both sides of the board, making all of His moves and all of ours too. Is that the way we look at God? Is that the way our relationship with God is? That God just does it all, and we just sit back and watch? I don't believe that's the way it is. It says, but clearly this is not so. God is a person who takes immense risk. No doubt the biggest risk of all was when He gave angels and men a free will, including the freedom to reject Him. Not just once, but every single day we have that choice to choose Him or reject Him. Does God cause people to sin? Absolutely not. Does God stop every bullet fired at an innocent victim? No. Then He can't be moving all the pieces on the board. We have a part in it as well. We have a choice to make. We have a free will, and we are a person that has to make choices of right and wrong. There is right and wrong. There are yes and no in our life. We have to make those choices of yes or no, or right and wrong. And as we go through life on a daily basis, we have those choices to make. And God's blessing is upon our lives as we make the right choices, as we do the right things, as we live our lives in a way that brings glory to God, as we choose to obey Him, as we choose to walk with Him. I like the thought of walking with God. We walk with God every day. It's when we walk where God wants us to walk. We do the things that God asks us to do with the Spirit of God in us, walking with us and showing us the way and empowering us and guiding us and leading us. Here's some other thoughts that have said, a man who walks with God will always get to his destination. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Walking with God is on top of knowledge. As we walk with Jesus, with our head on His heart. I love this. As we walk with Jesus, with our head on His heart, you will learn to know His word, His will and His ways. And you will want to obey Him. Not out of a forced compliance, but out of a heartfelt connection. That's the kind of obedience that God wants to see from us. Not that we have to do this and we can't do that, but because of our connection to Jesus Christ, we are moved by the Holy Spirit to function in His plan and in His program, to do whatever the Spirit leads in our life. But in that, but out of a heartfelt connection, your joy will abound as you remain in His love. That's a beautiful picture. Walking with God with your head on His heart and learning from Him and hearing His will, hearing His voice and knowing His will and yielding your vessels to God as a living sacrifice. Allowing God to lead you and to empower you and to fill you with His presence and accomplish His purpose in our lives. I speak to myself this morning. I know that there is such a tendency to live for self. There's such a tendency, the things we heard this morning in our Sunday school, there's self is always there wanting to push its way ahead and to wanting to be served. But when we deny ourselves and lay down our lives and serve others and serve Jesus, then is when God's blessing and presence can be within us. Another verse here. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the picture I see this morning of walking with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to connect, make that connection with Jesus, that we can have that relationship with Him, that we can have that breath of life flowing through us, that the power of God can radiate out of our life and bring forth fruits that brings glory to God. This morning, you know, I had to think of, we have our salvation is complete. We have our peace in Jesus Christ by faith. It's by faith in Him and Him alone. But yet, Jesus gave us some very specific instructions. He gave us commandments. He told us, do this and don't do that. Jesus did that. The epistles are full of do's and some do's and don'ts. And I know it seems like I think that we people who come from a works-oriented background where our life was so full of do's and don'ts and laws and rules and regulations that we tend to react against that to the point where we don't want to hear anything about any do's and don'ts anymore. That's why we have come to find salvation by faith to the point where we know that it's not because of the rules and regulations that we are saved. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And we tend to ignore the fact that there are still some instructions. Jesus gave some instructions. He gave some details. He gave some do's and some don'ts and some things that that pertain to the life of godliness and holiness. And I believe that He, through the Spirit in our lives, I believe He will guide us through these things, that our life is not under a strict compliance, but it's because of that heartfelt connection with Jesus Christ that we want to please Him and we find joy and pleasure in pleasing Him and obeying Him and doing the things that that bring glory to His name. You know, I have a long list here of things that Jesus said that need to be done. First of all, He said, "Repent and believe." That's a command to repent and believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Follow me." He tells His disciples to follow Him. He says, "Rejoice. Let your light shine. Honor God's laws. Be reconciled." He warns against lusting and uncleanness. He teaches us to keep your word, your yea be yea and your nay nay. He teaches us to go the second mile, to love your enemies, to practice secret disciplines such as almsgiving and prayer and closet prayer. And He gives many detailed instructions about how we ought to live our lives. And hard and painful thing to do. They're actually beautiful. They're life freeing principles that allow us to experience the beauties of life, the beauties of the Christian life. He talks about laying up treasures. You know, he said we're not supposed to lay up treasure here on the earth, but we are supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. How do we do that? By our service, by giving of ourselves and giving to the kingdom of God and serving others and ministering where we have opportunities. He wants us to seek Him. You know, He wants to be found of us, but He wants us to first seek Him. There are times when it seems like God goes out and just picks people up out of the ditch that hard, but it seems like God, in the most part, it takes a seeking and a coming after Him, a responding to Him. He says, "Ask and seek and knock, and ye shall receive, ye shall find, you shall have the things that you need." Pray and seek God. And he expects that God wants to be pursued. He wants us to pursue Him. And if we just sit back and let everything in His hands and don't make any effort on our part to pursue God, we aren't going to get very far in our relationship with Him. One that has been in my mind a lot of late is in 1 Corinthians 10:5. I think I'm going to read that. Here it says, it's not 2 Corinthians. He says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing." I think I'll start in verse 4. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Here we see that God gives us the tools. He gives us the weapons that we need to fight these battles. But we need to take a hold of them. We need to step up to the plate and take our responsibility and deal with these issues that come up in our life. We need to cast down imaginations and the knowledge that against God, those things that rise up against God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, we can become so lazy that we sit around and allow our minds to wander in all kinds of ungodly, trashy areas of life, and it can corrupt our souls. But God wants us to take responsibility for those things and to rise up and bring our thoughts and our mind into captivity of Jesus Christ, that the power of God can cleanse us and sanctify us and keep us close, keep us in Him, that our thoughts and our very inner being can be that which would glorify God, that which will bring praise and glory to Him. So let's cleanse ourselves and purify our hearts and wait before God. Allow Him to accomplish His work in us as we do our part in submitting ourselves and walking in love and serving where we have opportunity and giving of ourselves to watch and pray and obey and serve. Do the work that He has laid in our hearts and called us to do. Gird up the loins of your mind. Flee fornication. Purify yourselves, allowing the power of God to accomplish that work within our hearts today. And this kind of a life, it takes, I believe, one of the things that is needed more than anything else in our life, in our church life, in our walk with God, it's commitment to God. A commitment is something that, you know, in our marriage, a marriage commitment, we commit ourselves to love our wives as long as we live, as long as we both shall live. It's a commitment, it's a promise. It's something that we live by, regardless of the circumstances. We stand by it true to the end. It's a commitment. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brother and mother, mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, this is the kind of commitment that we make to God. We present ourselves, our entire being, our bodies, our work, our finances, that we heard about this morning. Everything is surrendered to God. We surrender these things to God as a living sacrifice to God. That which is pleasing to God, that He can, that which brings glory to Him, that we surrender and commit ourselves to God. There's nothing that we hold back for ourselves, but we give ourselves completely to Him. Faith is a commitment. It is simply to believe God, to trust God, to rest in God, to continue with God, to abide in God, to follow Jesus Christ, to endure unto the end. It is a commitment of life. It is a commitment of our life that we give ourselves to God in that way, that our life is fully committed to Him, that we have no turning back place. There's no place to turn back. There's no place to stop. There's no place to turn around. We're going to go on. We're going to be true to Him all the way to the end, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation. But what is sad, in our country, nearly 6 out of 10 couples today live together without a commitment to marriage. It seems like in our country today, people don't like commitments. They don't like commitments. Americans are very bad about making solid commitments and following through with them. Many have no qualms about breaking their word, especially when it's not in their best of interest to do so. The reason many people live together without marriage is because they want the benefits of marriage, but they don't want any of its commitment and responsibilities. They want to be free to walk out whenever it doesn't go their way. That's the sad situation of our country today. Many people are not committed to marriage, and they want to be free to do their own thing. If it doesn't go the way I want it to do, I'll do what I want to do. That's very sad. That's what life without a commitment, when there's no commitment to marriage, we can do what we want to do, and we have a looseness, and there's no sticking it out. But you know, that can be the same mentality can get into our walk with God, and especially in our relationships within the church. How committed are we to our relationship in the body of Jesus Christ? How committed are we? Are we committed to walk with our brothers and sisters whenever things get a little difficult, whenever differences come up, and it's not easy to talk about. Things come up that we'd rather not talk about, things that we'd rather not get involved in, and problems, we face problems, and there's a tendency, even in myself, to just back off and not get involved, and rather just stay out of the way. Is that how we feel about our walk in the church, our life in the church? I believe that this same commitment that we have in our marriage and in our walk with God, I believe we ought to learn to have that kind of a commitment in our church life and in our relationships with one another, in our serving God in working together with brothers and sisters and caring for one another and ministering to one another. I think there has to be a commitment. There has to be a commitment to God, a commitment to one another, a commitment to life in order to experience the full blessing of what God has for us in walking together in the church. If we don't have that, we're going to be like those that have no commitment in marriage, where we can walk off and do our own thing, lose our own selves. This morning I haven't read much scripture yet, but I have a number of scriptures I want to read now concerning being committed and being engaged in the work of God. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." God is looking for a man whose heart is perfect toward him, who is committed and is connected, is in tune with him. He's looking for a man that is running, looking to and fro in the earth, looking for that man who has a heart that is committed to serving him all the days of his life, who's committed to walking with him and to doing the things that are asked of him, and to be living in obedience and righteousness and holiness. That one that is committed, God is looking for that man, and he's going to use that man for his glory, for his purpose. In 1 Kings, "Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. He hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our father. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let our heart therefore be perfect unto the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments, as at this day." In Psalms, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou wilt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." And in the New Testament, in Acts, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers, continuing in a committed relationship together, walking with God." And it's my challenge this morning to each of us that we learn what it is to rise up and take our place and our responsibilities with the people of God and in the work of God, that we are alert and obedient and sensitive to this moving of God's Spirit in our lives, that we know where we stand with Him, and we know what His will is for our life, and we live our life to the glory and power and presence of God, to His glory. I just want to encourage all of us to allow God's presence to saturate our lives and learn what it is to walk with God with our heart in tune with His heart, with our ear in tune with His heart, that we can know the way of God and the will of God and surrender ourselves to Him in obedience and faith and rest, accomplishing the work that God is giving us here. That we don't just sit back and kick up our feet and do nothing, because there is a work for us to do. We need prayer. We need to pray. We need to intercede for the lost. We need to get out and minister, spread the word, and witness and testify for Jesus. I appreciate what one of the brothers said this morning about the time of prayer on the square of Bedford. I thought about that myself here recently. There seemed like last year, about a year ago, it seemed like there were people dying almost every week from overdose of drugs. We took some time to spend time praying for that particular situation. And I haven't heard much about it recently. I'm sure that there's probably still some activity there, but it seems like God has answered our prayers in some ways. I just blessed by that. And I trust that as we labor for Him, as we live for Him, as we serve Him, as we walk with Him, He will bring to pass His purpose and His work here in this community and in our lives, that we can live a life that is fruitful and glorifying to Him.